listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the Visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from Tan. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from Tan. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 165, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3, from the section pertaining to the preachings and miracles of Jesus. We will read number 16 today, The Mission of the Apostles and Disciples. 16. At the close of the Sabbath, Jesus spoke again in the synagogue, inveighing in severe terms against the wickedness of the Pharisees, in saying that he drove out devils through the power of the devil. He challenged them to say whether his actions and his teachings were not in perfect harmony, whether he did not practice what he preached, but they could allege nothing against him. In Peter's house outside the city gate, Jesus taught on the Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," and made the application against the Pharisees. After that, he prepared the disciples for their approaching mission. Jesus would not longer remain in Capernaum. The crowd was too great and too excited. Many Gergesenes also had come hither, and they wanted to follow Jesus. They were poor, were habituated to a wandering life, and thought it would be a good thing to be supported by him. Besides this, they were under the impression that Jesus would, like Saul or David, cause himself to be anointed king, and then establish his throne in Jerusalem. But Jesus told them to go back to their homes, to do penance, to keep the commandments, and to practice the lessons they had heard from him. His kingdom, he said, was far different from what they imagined, and no sinner should have part therein. Jesus afterward left Capernaum, accompanied by the 12 and by 30 disciples. They directed their steps northward. Crowds of people were journeying along the same way. Jesus frequently paused to instruct sometimes this, sometimes that crowd, who then turned off in the direction of their homes. In this way, he arrived at about 3 in the afternoon at a beautiful mountain, 3 hours from Capernaum, and not quite so far from Jordan. 5 roads branched out from it, and about as many little towns lay around it. The people who had followed Jesus thus far now took their leave, while he, with his party, having first taken some refreshment at the foot of the mountain, began to ascend the height. There was a teacher's chair upon it, from which he again instructed the apostles and disciples upon their vocation. He said that they now should show forth what they had learned. They should proclaim the advent of the kingdom, that the last chance for doing penance had arrived, that the end of John's life was very near. They should baptize, impose hands, and expel demons. He taught them how they should conduct themselves in discussions, how to recognize true from false friends, and how to confound the latter. He told them that now none should be greater than the others. In the various places to which their mission called them, they should go among the pious, should live poorly and humbly, and be burdensome to none. He told them also how to separate and how to again to unite. 2 apostles and some disciples should journey together, while some other disciples should go on ahead to gather together the people and announce the coming of the former. The apostles, he said, should carry with them little flasks of oil, which he taught them how to consecrate and how to use in effecting cures. Footnote, Mark 6, 7-13, Matthew 10-1, Luke 9, 1-6. Then he gave them all the other instructions recorded in the Gospels on the occasion of their mission. He made allusion to no special danger in store for them, but said only, "Today ye will be everywhere, be welcomed, but at a time will come wherein they will persecute you." After that, the apostle knelt down in a circle around Jesus as he prayed, and laid his hands upon the head of each. The disciples he only blessed. Then they embraced and separated. Among the directions given to the apostles, Jesus had indicated to them the place and time at which they should again join him, in order to bring him news and exchange places with the disciples that remained with him. Six of the apostles continued with him, Peter, James the Less, John, Philip, Thomas, and Judas. Besides 12 of the disciples, among the latter were the three brothers, James, Zadok, and Eliakim, Mary, Heli's son, Menahem, Nathanael, also called Little Cleophas, and several others. The other six apostles had with them 18 disciples, among whom were Joses Barsabbas, Judas Barsabbas, Saturnin, and Nathanael Chesed. Nathanael, the bridegroom of Cana, did not travel around. He attended to others' affairs for the community and, like Lazarus, rendered services in his own immediate circle. All shed tears on separating. The apostles, who were going forth on their mission, descended the mountain by the eastern route leading to the Jordan, where I saw a place situated, Lechem, by name, about a quarter of an hour from the river. When Jesus came down the mountain, he was again surrounded by a crowd, returning home from Capernaum. From the foot of the mountain, Jesus started with the disciples southward from Sephat, which was situated on another high mountain, to a place called Huccah. Before reaching this place, he was met by many people who received him, and the disciples with expressions of great joy. At a fountain, a blind man and several cripples were awaiting Jesus' coming, and they now implored him for help. The blind man's eyes were infected with disease. Jesus ordered him to wash his face at the fountain. When he had done so, he anointed his eyes with oil, broke off a little twig from a brush nearby, held it before his eyes, and asked whether he saw it or not. The man answered, "Yes, I see a very tall tree." Jesus anointed his eyes once more and repeated his question, whereupon the man cast himself on his knees before him, crying out joyfully, "Lord, I see mountains, trees, people, I see everything." There was great jubilation among the people as they escorted the man back into the city. Jesus went on curing the lame and the palsied, who were standing around on crutches, made of light, but very firm wood. Each had 3 feet, so that it could stand alone. And when the two were crossed together, the sick would rest the breast against them. When the blind man and his escorts went shouting with joy into the city, many of the inhabitants, the elders of the synagogue and the school teachers with their scholars came flocking out to meet Jesus. They were full of joy. Jesus returned with them, went into the school, and gave them some instructions and parables on the 8 Beatitudes. He exhorted all to penance, for the kingdom was near. He explained the parables at great length. The disciples were present. Before beginning, Jesus had recommended to them strict attention, in order that they might repeat what they heard when they scatter around among the houses and villages in the environs. It was thus that they acquired in Jesus' public discourses what they, in their turn, had to teach in the country around. For the apostles, along with several of the disciples, scattered as usual among the environs to cure and to teach. They met again in the evening at the place indicated by Jesus and to which he himself had gone. Here they stopped with the elder of the synagogue, who placed before them fish, honey, little rolls, and fruit, of which they ate. Huccah was situated about 5 hours to the northwest of Capernaum, 5 hours southwest of the mountain upon which Jesus had given the apostles their mission, and about 3 hours south of Sephat. They were none but Jews in the place, and they were tolerably good people, for most of them had received John's baptism. They manufactured stuffs of fine texture, narrow scarfs of wool, tassels and fringes of silk. They knit sandals, also under which they placed two supports like heels. These sandals were flexible in the middle and very comfortable, for they allowed the dust to fall through holes made for that purpose. The apostles and several of the disciples with them scattered two by two throughout the city and its environs. Hakuka must have once been a strong fortress, for it was surrounded by moats, now dry, and its approach was over a bridge. One could look through the gate far into the city and see its beautiful synagogue. Hakuka was surrounded by verdant walks, planted with trees so thick and high that even at a short distance, its houses could not be seen. Its synagogue was extraordinarily beautiful. It was surrounded by a colonnade into which the main building could be opened for the accommodation of a more considerable crowd. Opposite the entrance, the wall was solid and formed a semicircle. It stood upon an open square at the end of the street upon which was the entrance. The whole city was well built and very clean. The people gathered into the synagogue. Jesus went first into two separate halls, in one healing many sick men, in the other women sick of all kinds of maladies. Many sick children were brought to him, and some young enough to be carried in their arms, and he healed them. The healthy children he blessed. In the synagogue, Jesus taught of prayer and of the Messiah. He said that the Messiah had already come upon earth and that they, his hearers, were living in his time, that they were listening to his teachings. He spoke of the adoration of God in spirit and in truth. I felt that it meant the adoration of the Father and the Holy Ghost and in Jesus Christ, for Jesus is the truth. He is the true, the living, the incarnate God, the Son conceived of the Holy Spirit. At these words, the doctors of the synagogue humbly begged him to say who he really was, whence he came, whether they, whom they looked upon as his parents, were not his parents, his relatives not his relatives, whether he was really the Messiah, the Son of God. It would be well, they said, for the doctors of the law to know positively what to think. Being placed over others, they, before all others, ought to know him. But Jesus answered them evasively. If he said, I am he, they would not believe him, but would say that he was the son of those people of whom they had spoken. They should not inquire into his origin, but should hear his doctrine and observe his actions. Whoever does the will of the Father is the son of the Father, for the Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son. And whoever fulfills the will of the Son fulfills the will of the Father. Jesus spoke so beautifully on this subject that on that of prayer, that many cried out, Lord, thou art the Christ, thou art the truth. And falling down, they wished to adore him. But he repeated to them, adore the Father in spirit and in truth. And he left the city with his disciples and the elder of the synagogue, at whose house they passed the night. In this suburb, there was a school, very well attended, but no synagogue. The Feast of Lights was still being celebrated. The next day, Jesus taught again in Hakuka on the parable of the sower and the different ways in which the seed is received. Then he spoke of the good shepherd, come to seek the lost sheep, and who would be happy to carry back even one on his shoulder. He said, thus would the good shepherd do, until his enemies put him to death. And thus also should his servants and his servants' servants do until the end of time. If at the end, wily one sheep was saved, yet would his love rest satisfied. Jesus spoke most tenderly on this point. This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to and what we have just read. There was a line in our reading today, which maybe when read in the paragraph, maybe doesn't call out to us. But if we just focus on those words, well, it makes us think and reflect a little bit. It says, he taught them how they should conduct themselves in discussions and how to recognize true from false friends and how to confound the latter. True and false friends. I would just invite you to think about the friendships you have in your life and, you know, are they a true friend to you? Is there a friend that maybe has hurt you or you know that they've said something about you and so maybe they are a false friend? So then why do you keep them in your circle as true friends? That would be the question. I think it's good simply to evaluate and examine our friendships. Not only can we do that with our friends, thinking about them and their friendship to us, but really, am I a good friend? Am I a true friend or a false friend? Am I a friend only when it's convenient, or am I a friend through everything? Am I a false friend that I'm taking advantage of this person and using them because they're convenient to me and can help me in whatever I'm doing? Maybe think about your role as a friend. Jesus calls people to amendment of life. Maybe he's calling us to amendment of friendships, that we are true and good friends to the people we love and care about. We heard about the apostles carrying flasks of oil today as well, and it says that he taught them how to consecrate them and how to use it to effect cures. We got those scripture passages that I read as a footnote, Mark 6, 7 to 13, Matthew 10, 1, and Luke 9, 1 to 6. Maybe if you're curious about healing, you go and you read those scripture passages. And lastly, our reading concluded on this very beautiful note about adoration of the Father in the Spirit and Jesus really relating this teaching. We know today Jesus adored in the Blessed Sacrament, but adoring the Father and the Spirit through Christ the Son. A beautiful reflection that maybe, you know, I would recommend you go back and reread the last two paragraphs. Maybe even to take it to a holy hour and just simply to see how you are called to greater adoration of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others. Share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.